This is called Most Men Want Poise and More Royal Margin. Most Men Want Poise and More Royal Margin. And it's McLuhan Dooline, Volume 2, Number 2, for September 69. And it's got a picture of coinage, American dollar, in a precious context. And then it has another picture, but my Xeroxing can't really make it out. It might be something to do with a cashier machine or something. So it says, in big letters over the picture, inflation as new rim spin. Inflation as new rim spin, rim spin hyphenated. So it has a foreword signed by Marshall McLuhan. It says, in the 1920s, it was the advent of radio that put a new rim spin on our whole show, including the soundtrack on film toward the end of the decade. I saw my first talkie, talkie in quotes, in 1929. It was the Coconuts with the Marx Brothers. Another example of speed up and inflation in brackets and inflation is summer school in the university. I'll read that again. Another example of speed up and inflation is summer school in the university. The entire education system is given an extra spin, a third term. Having taught summer school for several years in the States, I know the results. As compared to the two-semester Canadian school with its long summer, in brackets, practically a sabbatical, there is, in the American trimester patterns, gradual loss of dialogue both among students and among faculty, in brackets, and consequently a loss of learning and understanding, close bracket, and a great increase in bureaucratic activity. Summer school, however, keeps American universities, quote, in the black, unquote. Signed, Marshall McLuhan. I'm just going to read that again. As compared to the two-semester Canadian school with its long summer, practically a sabbatical, there is in the American tri-semester patterns gradual loss of dialogue both among students and among faculty, and consequently a loss of learning and understanding, and a great increase in bureaucratic activity. Summer school, however, keeps American universities in the black. And the next page says, again, in smaller letters over coins, probably British, no, this is United States dollar. Most men want poise and more royal margin, in brackets underneath, unresolved parameter of Hertz's law. Hertz's law is the consequences of the images are the images of the consequences, a 19th century statement, I think. Unresolved parameter of Hertz's law is that most men want poise and more royal margin. Now, wouldn't that be royal, margarine? So it's a pun on margarine, more royal margin. They want more space, visual space between themselves and others. So it says in the text part, David Bazelon in the Paper Economy, that's the name of the book, the Paper Economy, published by Vintage Books, 1965, reminds us that Thorsten Veblen, he's the guy who came up with the phrase conspicuous consumption 110 years ago. David Bazelon in the Paper Economy reminds us that Thorsten Veblen said 40 years ago that, quote, any established order of law and custom is always out of date in some degree, unquote. Bazelon proceeds to point out that speed up in America has entered the goal of making money without substituting any other goals. The hang-up in quotes, the hang-up is how to bypass the notion that activities, except the money passion, are merely hobbies. Today, after reaching the $50,000 or $100,000 a year income level, people have access to all the available service environments of the globe. No goals are left. This fact creates the new phenomenon of the up and out, that's in quotes, up and out. The executive is dropout on the upper level, matching the familiar dropout of the lower extreme. Here also is to be found the reason for the hippie world of kids from affluent homes for whom the world is goalless, since they too have it all in their midst. Under the present conditions, they recognize hardware-oriented goals as a red herring. As noted earlier, the tendency of the world toward, quote, software, unquote, or reliance on electric information takes many hidden forms. The satellite ring is one such form which has transformed the planet into a global theater. A similar ring around the moon has transformed it into a new junk heap of resource material. As the man-made service environments go around the old natural forms, natural in quotes, nature ends. Programming computer style takes over. Paradoxically, speed up of the total environment is what used to be called, in a merely economic and monetary sense, inflation. Inflation in quotes. As information takes over as the principal commodity, many consequences can be anticipated by simply noting the shaping causes inherent in acceleration. But I had to go two pages, and there was a picture page in between with the words fairly big over the coinage. It says, knowledge replaces experience. In fact, experience with its preconceptions becomes a principal danger to navigation in new environments. That's quite a statement. Knowledge replaces experience. In fact, experience with its preconceptions becomes a principal danger to navigation in new environments. And back to the text, he says, at a very ephemeral level, traffic speed-up destroys neighborhood. When the social bonds of neighborhood end with speed-up, the police, in brackets, i.e. bureaucrats, job holders, specialists, so the police are these beyond just cops and robbers. They're bureaucrats, job holders are police, specialists are police. The police, when the social bonds of neighborhood end with speed-up, the police enter the scene where homes is italicized, where homes and neighborhood are dominant social structures, the policeman is meaningless. Fragmentation, on the other hand, or specialism, with its attendant bureaucracy, is one of the greatest psychological discoveries in history. The ancient Romans carried it to a considerable pitch, but specialism and fragmentation as a way of ridding ourselves of fallible human nature and human ignorance really began with the great Gutenberg breakthrough. This was the first mechanization of handicraft. This was the first mechanization of handicraft, and it was done necessarily by breaking a process into very small bits of a uniform, replaceable, repeatable kind. Machiavelli was the first to see the application of this discovery to politics. Divide and rule, unquote. So that's what Machiavelli discovered. If all tasks are arbitrarily divided into tiny repeatable segments, neither human loyalty nor knowledge are required in order to organize vast enterprises. Thus, the extension of the Gutenberg principle to the structuring of the various social establishments quickly led to the rise of the Superman and the superstate. Plato, in his Meno, M-E-N-O, one of his chapters, or dialogues, Plato in his Meno had used the same technique in breaking up a complex geometric problem into a series of brief questions. By this means, he elicited the answer to technical mathematical problems from an ignorant slave. By this means, he elicited the answer to technical mathematical problems from an ignorant slave. Benjamin Franklin, in his autobiography, exulted in applying the same discovery to the technique of merely moral perfection. He simply made an inventory of his defects and set about removing them one at a time. By specializing in this way, he rapidly achieved a sort of secular sanctity. His last two counsels, number 12 and number 13, illustrate his rapid zeroing in on perfection. Number 12 is titled Chastity. Rarely used venery, but for health or offspring. Never to dullness, weakness, or the injury of your own or another's piece of chastity. Rarely used venery, but for health or offspring. Rarely use venery, but for health or offspring. Never to dullness, weakness, or the injury of your own or another's peace or reputation. Under 13, this title, Humility, he writes, imitate Jesus and Socrates. So, chastity, rarely use venery, but for health or offspring. Never to dullness, weakness, or the injury of your own or another's peace or reputation. So then he says, the USA was the first country in the world to apply the Gutenberg technology to every level of life. Today in the electric age, with the much greater speed up of electric technology, all the patterns of the Gutenberg speed up, the ecology of equilibrium economics, whether of the first Adam Smith in brackets free trade or of the second in brackets the money game, all of these are obsolete. It's perhaps not a new observation that, quote, Chinese food is spoiled unless eaten with chopsticks, unquote. From this, most people would deduce that the added taste of the wood, in brackets, or lack of taste of metal implements, is the indicated component. They would be wrong. The determining factor is the rate, italicized rate. The determining factor is the rate of consumption. The statement means that in order to be appreciated as such, quote, Chinese food should be eaten at a chopstick rate, unquote. The Western compulsion for efficiency and speed, shoveling it down with spoon and fork, alters the consumer-food relationship and thus changes the character of both the experience and the effect. In effect, the food is changed. Now, the in-between, the previous page and what I just read you is another picture with a big print that says, mechanization or specialism, by eliminating the obliquities and defects of man, made it possible for managers and organizers to use human weakness and ignorance as a major resource for the first time in human history. Then we go past the page we just read, where it ends with, in effect, the food is changed. Another picture with a big statement. It says, the same principles speed up, creating new paradigms from the old ones. Do that again. The same principle of speed up, creating new paradigms from the old ones it dissolves, applies equally to all spheres of society. Then you go to the next page and back to the text. It says, in one area in particular, however, the consequences, unless foreseen and forestalled, can be devastating. And that's the area of money. When the barter system showed itself incompetent to deal with a new pace and variety of transaction, a more uniform hardware currency was evolved and implemented via fragmentation. As the pace increased and transactions occurred faster than money could be moved, another level of abstraction was achieved in stocks and credit. More recently, the enormous speeds made possible by telephone, radio, and TV have led to the all but abolishment of hard in quotes, have led to the all-but-abolishment of hard money via widespread credit. In brackets, says credit now functions in part as money used to, and in part as a function of the individual's social image of bureaucratic reliability. Functionally, money and credit seem to have changed place. But credit is software. It works by interval and is an intangible part of an image process. Close the brackets. Then he says, the effective computer speeds on hardware patterned identities. Do that again. The effect of computer speeds on hardware patterned identities and software images has been explored in earlier newsletters. The effect of these speeds on a hardware money-based consumer economy, if unchecked, will far outdistance the 1929 crash. As with the barter system, money is, quote, meant to be spent at a money rate, unquote. With the first real speed-up, credit had to be instituted. But credit is just an ameliorative, not a solution. Then in brackets, money at these speeds had inflated to the point where the lack of it, or credit, became viable. This corresponds to the organization of ignorance noted earlier. Money as hardware, that's hyphenated, money as hardware has always been considered a commodity for private consumption and accumulation. Credit negates this idea somewhat. Credit, which allowed us to bridge the intermediate-paced hardware-software gap created first by industrialization and then the telephone and radio, will not, as presently constituted, be able to carry us over the new gap being generated by computer speeds of transaction. In brackets, if indeed private transactions per se can still be affected. Close bracket. In order to preclude the total economic anarchy which will result if the present computerization of the stock exchange continues, a completely new system of economic strategies will have to be instituted to replace the old fixed positions. It is easier to spot the nature and effects of speed-up when there is a clash or interface between two forms of activity. the Bell Company was designated to natural monopoly in the later 19th century, in brackets, an age of many unnatural monopolies, close bracket. The telegraph is typical of the electric form that tends strongly toward software or information. Its being mated with the steam engine was an incongruous anachronism. The railway, however, gave natural scope to the telegraph, which led to one of the greatest technological wars. When the equally speedy information system of Bell Telephone encountered the vast organization of Western Union, the war was between two equally potent forms of software information. Today, the vast quantitative superiority of electric information to the old hardware service environments, whether railway or highway, has created obsolescence on an altogether new scale. And the page before that, with big letters over coinage, at computer speeds, and speeds is italicized, at computer speeds, money becomes software and a corporate resource. It literally changes to community rather than private property. Read that again. It literally changes to community rather than private property. Back to the next page. We read most of it. Then it says, the collapse of the organization chart and the conventional staff and line management setups has been heralded by a flood of funny books about the patterns of work and organization. For example, Stephen Potter's One-Upmanship, H.W. Parkinson's Law, Robert Summers' Expert Land, Lawrence Peters' The Peter Principle, and many others. These were preceded by jittery books like The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit, The Lonely Crowd, The Organization Man. Jittery books. By the time that anything is a source... of fun and games, it is dead as a working environmental process. 1066 and all that, by Sellers and Yeatman, heralded the death of classified history and of memorized chronology as the approach to history. Memorized chronology as the approach to history. The Peter Principle, and that's in quote, the Peter Principle that, quote, all men are promoted to the level of their own incompetence, unquote, is an example of instant pattern recognition. It is also a rearview mirror shot. The organization chart collapsed 20 years ago thanks to the telephone, teletype, radio, and computer speeds that cut across all filing systems and specialism of classification. The same speed has given vast new powers to the President of the USA, which are completely unaccountable in terms of a written constitution. The President is the president is as embarrassed as he is incompetent. So he's talking about LBJ. No, it's Nixon. This is Nixon, sorry. The President is as embarrassed as he is incompetent in his new role. No, do that again. The President is as embarrassed as he is incompetent in this new role. But the same is true of most managers of large enterprises, whether national or commercial. The information they need for any particular decision they know is somewhere down below them, encapsulated in the mind of some subordinate. I'll read that again. The information they need for any particular decision they know is somewhere down below them, encapsulated in the mind of some subordinate. Their only concept of decision-making is to match their problems against some classified data that cannot possibly be reached except by serendipity. Serendipity in quotes. And this person we're talking about, I think, named their store Serendipity. Now, there was a picture page where it said, this is before what I just read, in the previous page, the speeded-up information environment, in effect, scraps the entire hardware world with all its bureaucracies and goals. So that's from General Motors to your local school. Then he says, war is, after serendipity, war is now totally involving to the psychic energies of the entire, so I'll read that again. War is now totally involving to the psychic energies of the entire population of the planet. Cool, the word cool in quotes. Cool here means more than, quote, low in information content, unquote, or just involving, in quotes. It means rending, in quotes, rending and racking. And that's spelled W-R-A-C-K-I-N-G. War is, and racking is in quotes. War is now software, and that's in quotes, in the sense of being a clash of icons and prestige images. daily revamped and revised in the manner of Mona Lisa's mustache. Read that again. War is now software in the sense of being a clash of icons and prestige images, daily revamped and revised in the manner of Mona Lisa's mustache. Then in quotes, loss of face, unquote. Loss of face is too easily effected and extremely difficult to compensate for. Any leader or country in brackets, any leader or country may wake to find that during the night some malignant spirit has scrawled some ghastly memo on his, in brackets, or its countenance, or retrieve some forgotten scandal from the sludge of past festivity. It was announced on August 27, 1969, that any Canadian citizen can check his own credit rating or image with the Credit Bureau and may receive advice as to how to titivate his image. A fit term for this process of instant liming of images may be retribulation. That's in italics. A fit term for this process of instant liming of images may be retribulation. The tribal world is full of tribulations because its corporate image, in brackets, or notional identity, that's in quotes, is no more secure than the action of any one of its corporate membership. We have come to the absolute end of the utility of the Gutenberg discovery. Specialism and fragmentation as a technique of getting rid of original sin and human nature at the same time led to the triumphs of mechanization. So he's blaming Ben Franklin for mechanization. Today, the possibilities are not for the erosion of human nature by technological encroachment. That's not the erosion happening now, but rather the extension of all the human powers, including the most depraved impulses. So he says, the culturally depraved or deprived can now join hands in a daisy ring of electronic circuitry. Henceforth, we shall see. Well, let me just go back and read a couple lines here. Today, the possibilities are not for the erosion of human nature by technological encroachment, but rather the extension of all the human powers, including the most depraved impulses. The culturally depraved or deprived can now join hands in a daisy ring of electronic circuitry. Henceforth, we shall see all of both the most elevated and degraded features of man simultaneously enlarged to at least planetary scale. Man, as in quotes, cyborg, can exploit the possibility of either of total extension of his consciousness as a world environment or as a perpetual and collective organism of war. It sounds pretty familiar. Man as cyborg can exploit the possibility either of total extension of his consciousness as a world environment or as a perpetual and collective organism of war. So the image of the book with the guy with the one patch over one eye, that might get seen in the context of the person who's arguing with McLuhan here. So man as cyborg can exploit the possibility either of total extension of his consciousness as a world environment or as a perpetual and collective organism of war. Oh, got to go back one for the quote over the picture. And it says, in the new speeded-up world of cybernetics, war becomes cool, cool in quotes, in the sense that, it's a bit blurry, that we no longer a specialist job for professionals. Oh, that is no longer, okay. In the new speeded-up world of cybernetics, war becomes cool in the sense that it is no longer a specialist job for professionals. No longer a specialist. War is no longer a specialist job for professionals. So there's that. And then we read the script. And you just have one more little page. Just checking something. Okay. Enclosed with this issue of the Dewline newsletter is something completely unique, an intellectual's card deck. Exclamation point. This deck was expressly designed for the Dew Line by Marsh McLuhan and Harley Parker as much more than a mere game or exercise in wit. They leave out George Thompson's name as one of the designers. So it was designed, this deck was expressly designed for the Dew Line by Marsh McLuhan and Harley Parker as much more than a mere game or exercise in wit. It was designed to use and illustrate one of the most effective of the many techniques for obtaining insight and discovery. Dash, the technique of juxtaposition. With this very posh, capital P, capital O, capital S, capital H, with this very posh deck, one can take a cool trip into exotic regions. He has in brackets posh, translated into port side out, starboard home. Posh enabled the visitor to the Orient to play it cool. Posh, port side out, starboard home, enabled the visitor to the Orient to play it cool, close bracket. Although with this deck most card games can be played, it is unlikely that it can be used to play poker, for no one could for long maintain a poker face in quotes. Here in this deck is the possibility of exploring our world in action. For juxtaposed with the conventional games are many other media games from the environment, both verbal and pictorial iconic. So there's the advertising movie world. It's called pictorial-iconic, as opposed to the verbal. He has in Gutenberg Galaxy the battle between the verbal and the pictorial, but now he's added iconic to the word pictorial. Here in this deck is a possibility of exploring our world in action. For juxtaposed with the conventional games are many other media games from the environment, both verbal and pictorial iconic. This deck makes possible a conversational card game in which the players do not deal in the usual exchange of gossip, but rather play across the table with the wisdom and or wit embodied in the aphorisms from many fields. As would be true in the East, what is important in any given, quote, hand, unquote, of cards. So as would be true in the East, what is important in any given hand of cards is not just the identity of the cards, but the varied relationships and juxtaposition of cards, and in brackets, and aphorisms, and not only within the hand, but also between players. The deck contains the idea of the interplay of minds concerned with the new manipulation of the current, in brackets, or of a past environment. This inclusive kind of monopoly is by way of being a game. Read that again. The deck contains the idea of the interplay of minds concerned with the new manipulation of the current or of a past environment. This inclusive kind of monopoly, meaning the game, is by way of being a game rather than, what do you have there? Forget where, didn't I say some other kind of game earlier? Okay, so then he says, the flood of new awareness and discovery may compel the player to keep in touch with his brokers and his managers. Many players will be able to create new games on the basis of this multimedia approach. In that event, we would be pleased to hear about them. And then it has, I have the picture of the Dew Line card deck. So let's just take a break for a minute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Anybody want to say anything? Did I read it too fast? Hey! Nobody there? Somebody has to speak.
Bob.
Yes, Bert.
Yes, I muted myself when I was talking.
Did I hear a prediction of McLuhan saying that the stock market would crash with the speed up? It was somewhere.
Yes.
But not.
This is 1969. There was trouble in 68 in the gold world and a couple other things that happened, 68, 69. And you're going to get a problem by, I think, 1973. So McLuhan is quite advanced on what he's predicting. He's saying this speed up will not be able to be contained by the normal accounting procedures, and then everybody will perceive themselves as deficient, get depressed, and then create an ionic depression. Right? That's what he predicted.
Yeah.
When he's talking about war, he mentioned something you talked about before. He says that this new environment that is the total extension of consciousness. When you were talking about the TV being also like an extension of our consciousness.
Yeah.
Of tactility.
Yes, and
tactility.
It starts with this, everybody wanted to hold their hands, like in the Beatles song. That's the tactility of the whole
right
environment.
And where were they trying to hold their hands? Where did this happen?
The song of the, like the Beatles song. The Beatles song, I think, is 64, but it's already showing this.
You say the
everybody.
Beatles songs. I thought I was saying the middle song. The Beatles songs. Yes, I want to hold your hand. That's what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, the Beatles. Yes. You know what he said about that period of music? He said it demonstrated that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So mom's hand rocks the cradle. It's like, you know, kindergarten warmth. Everybody is 3 years old or 4 years old, is very young and socially and immature, and they're coddled by the drug that's not a drug at all in the pharmaceutical sense, but as McLuhan said, music is the drug, and when you have electrified music, you don't need any other drugs. So music is drug enough, he said. So here's this.
I think this thing of people trying to stay young and immature starts being more and more an issue.
Yes.
Maybe in the yep. than before, that people, we all want to stay teenagers forever.
Yeah, I'm a good example of that. I am the poster child for the immature teenager. I can't even fix his car. Let us be honest now. That's what we really think of me. So put it on the table. But at least I'm a teenager. You guys are all 3 years old. I am the wise one. I got to my team. Took me 90 years, but I got there. Yeah, and remember a few years ago, we talked about on cash flow, the kids in Japan houses wouldn't come out of their bedroom for 2 years. Remember that?
Yeah.
Don't hear anything more about it, but I guess they were all murdered, just done away with. Maybe that's what Aikido does secretly, goes around and kills little kids who refuse to leave the bedroom.
No, he blows up nuclear factories. Or...
Oh, that's right. He's got a bigger scale. He's on the big picture. That's right. He's trying to swamp Hawaii, trying to wipe out Hawaii with some huge tsunami. Yes, we're on to you, Aikido.
Yes,
okay,
because as McLuhan said, war is not only the field of the army, of the special trained forces. Everybody can be a cyber hacker or Aikido.
Yeah, a guerrilla. Anybody can be a guerrilla. He said World War III would be a war of no division between civilian and military fronts. In Take Today, he calls it the warfare welfare state, warfare-welfare. So he says, credit, this is if you read this in the late 60s, remember, Warren Buffett was a fan of McLuhan. He probably got the due line and got some clarity for himself. Credit, which allowed us to bridge the intermediate-paced hardware-software gap, created first by industrialization, then the telephone and radio, will not, as presently constituted, be able to carry us over the new gap being generated by computer speeds of transaction, if indeed private transactions per se can still be affected. Now, by 1975, you know, New York declared bankruptcy, and McLuhan used to say that some guy, some Wall Street biggie, came in and told him, there's no bottom, it's all over, the whole system has crashed. But when he did a tetrad of money, what did he say about money? Money, enhanced speed of transaction, obsolete barter, retrieve conspicuous consumption, and then flipped into credit. So he described the credit phase. Then if you do a, he does a tetrad on credit, which enhances prestige, obsolesces, I guess, money, whereas money obsolesces barter, retrieves, I don't know what it retrieved. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it retrieved conspicuous consumption, but I don't remember that. But it put, when pushed extreme, credit as an environment flips into bankruptcy, which is what happened. And
yes,
he's saying this, you know, in the late, you know, 7 years before New York declared it was bankrupt. And he says, in order to preclude the total economic anarchy which will result if the present computerization of the stock exchange continues, a completely new system of economic strategies will have to be instituted to replace the old fixed positions. And what was that sentence about consciousness?
Yeah, this is it's total extension of consciousness. He's talking about war being...
Man is cyborg, Bob.
Yes, the man is cyborg, right. Okay, so I want to say this. In 1970, maybe it's in a do line, we may read it, he predicts a huge depression, he puts depression in quotes, is going to overtake the 70s. Then he says, not just an economic, he meant a psychic depression. And that is what people like to say, the exciting 60s turned into the bland out of the 70s, the boring 70s. It wasn't boring for Roxy. She had so much homework to do, she could evade the terrible decade. Did she ignore the decade by doing homework? But the hidden ground was there was this massive psychic depression, and the 70s did have a total, you know, different mood. McLuhan, in another spot, called it from the 60s, 70s, from glow to glum. So the 70s became glum, but the leftists like to say it was caused by Kent State, the massacre, a few people, four people, whatever, died in Kent State, and the Cambodia invasion, I think, the bombing of Cambodia, so the Vietnam War spit out further, and maybe some other newsworthy journalistic puny disasters. But no, there was a depression for people not knowing where the fuck they were, because the changes that the revolutions were symptoms of in the 60s now were spreading all through society anyways as effects. And so you needed the punk rock anger in 76, 77, and the complimentary disco Margaret Trudeau excess happening to get people out of their depression, and that's when they start doing cocaine and all that stuff. So he was talking about massive worldwide effects caused by the computerized environment. But no, nobody listened. So back to what I was looking for. So you find that interesting, people? What he said about,
yes,
from glow to glum?
Yes.
Yes, because you were saying the other day also something I found very interesting, how every new substance, new drug created a new music, a new type of fashion,
yeah,
and a new environment, because people is affected by this substance.
Right.
In making their decisions, like Zappa would call it the cocaine decisions, but he was also against,
yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah. Right. In the early 70s, it was Quaaludes. Quaaludes took over. You guys remember that? This boring, dumb drug, Quaaludes, for people to manage,
yes,
their depression. Now, you know that I wasn't depressed, right? I was having a good time,
right,
all through this stuff, and I didn't need any damn fucking drugs. and I was attending meetings like you can read in my diaries where they planned AIDS. That was exciting, you know, as an anarchist. I was all keen on wiping out billions of people. This was looking pretty good here at the solar banker level. So I certainly wasn't trying to look for homework. I was enjoying the garbage apocalypse. That's what Salvador Dali said around that time. He said, "I love hearing news about earthquakes and huge disasters." That's what he said. He did. I count on me. I know what I'm talking about. He fucking said this. Don't argue. He did it. And I said, "There's a fellow guy." I said, "My friend Martin." I said, "We ought to see if he'll work for the Secret Council 10. I mean, he's got the right attitude, right, guys? What do you think?" Fuck that. I like the dadists. Fuck the surrealists. They were jerks. Let's get Duchamp. Well, he's dead. Well, let's get McLuhan. No, I've got him. You don't get him. Okay, we'll work on LaRouche. All right, yeah, you guys go for LaRouche. So there's an actual dialogue in the Secret Council 10. That's how we thought.
Yes, but I think one of the things you are adding to this conversation is how these substances, this chemistry, also changes the environment. I mean, people like McLuhan or Zappa saw it, but then you're the only one who are creating a new food, a new an environment to that.
Right. Yeah, because chemistry is a man-made technology, and all technologies affect people in different ways or intensities. So, of course, you have to do a tetrad on the chemical products of the IG pharmaceutical government. Yeah? Mandatory.
It's like you said, to balance these total extensions of consciousness by everything becoming tactile again, but there is like with this speed up, the people are sort of unbalanced. And,
yeah. And then the technologies themselves come alive and become unbalanced. So it says here, today the possibilities are not for the erosion of human nature by technological encroachment, but rather the extension of all the human powers, including the most depraved impulses. And that's the, you know, the junk this, junk TV, junk society, everything's junk and ugly. That is has a Baroque spiral from this prediction in 69 over the next 30 years.
The speed up of the fast food. Everything is fast, everything is instant. Instant coffee, instant everything.
Instant consumption for the chemical body. Because it's too, you must keep up with the, at that point it'd be the TV landscape and the beginning of the computer landscape. There's not bodies yet. They haven't been digitized. But you got the massive TV landscape. So he says, the culturally depraved or deprived can now join hands, there's the Beatles, can now join hands in a daisy ring of electronic circuitry. I want to hold your hand. The culturally depraved or deprived can now join hands in a daisy ring of electronic circuitry. Henceforth, we shall see all of both the most elevated and degraded features of man simultaneously enlarged to at least planetary scale. Remember he said the satellites went around the moon, wrecking the moon, and its natural context. It just became another land of resources. So then he says, man as cyborg. So we're already cyborg, way ahead of William Gibson and Philip K. Dick. Man
the
as cyborg.
And
yeah, the cyberpunk. This is 14, 15 years before cyberpunk. 15 years, and he talks about the cyborg. If man was a robot from 1500 to 1900, the cyborg starts coming in before people, you know, imaged it. The effects of the cyborg are happening to people in the 20th century. And then the actual cause, the cyborg itself, shows up. So he says, as a cyborg, there's only two possibilities. We exploit the possibility either of total extension of our consciousness, So he goes, man as cyborg can exploit the possibility either of total extension of the cyborg's consciousness as a world environment. This is Zappa and his music. He's got the whole world as his playground, and he calls it intercontinental absurdities, or as a perpetual and collective organism of war. That's the android meme. A perpetual and collective organism of war would be the man as a cyborg as a world environment. And both happened. He's presenting as an either-or here, but both happened. Perpetual war and perpetual extension to people to huge scales of celebrity impact. So now I just want to read you. There's 52 do lines. Do we save that for next week, or do you want me to read all the aphorisms? Or should we wait? Anybody, anything else to say?
Maybe what do you mean 52 do lines? Is the 52 issues in the second volume?
No, there's the do line deck of cards. I Xerox.
Oh, okay,
card.
Okay. All right.
Let me do a few. So it says, distant early warning deck, 1969, copyright Marshall McLuhan. Rules of the game. In addition to the conventional card games, the do line deck performs as the management game. That's big letters, the management game. Proceed as follows. A, take any card, relate the aphorism to your current hang-up. B, call to mind a private or corporate problem as you shuffle the cards. Select a card and apply its message. C, take three cards. Experiment with different arrangements of these until they yield new insights and patterns in your problem. D, deal yourself three cards. Pick a pair to maximize the comic side of your problem. Then in big letters, to obtain your score. One, if you get your breakthrough in 30 seconds or less, you are a top do-liner. Those who get their million-dollar solution. Those who get their million-dollar solution in less than 2 minutes have not yet been promoted to the level of their incompetence. Three, if it takes you 3 minutes or more, try another problem.
That's like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Manipian position. If you're in the Manipian detachment, you come up with the same attitude, same kind of jokes, or same kind of directions. So he has a picture of the Joker, and it says, the clown is the emperor's PR man. The clown is the emperor's PR man. He said Trudeau was the first political expression of the clown hyphen emperor, emperor dash clown, using both, being both, the clown and the emperor. Then there's the ace of spades. In the middle it has a spade that says white creates black. And above that it says learning creates ignorance. And below that, the public creates privacy. And then the second, what do you say? You call it two of spades? Is that how you say it? The two of spades.
Yeah.
The three of spades. It says, I drew the coffin. And then underneath in the mirror image going in the opposite direction, the same sentence, but upside down, I drew the coffin. C-O-F-F-I-N. Three, Fulton's steamboat anticipated the miniskirt. We don't have to wait for the wind anymore. Now, how's that going to solve some executive's problem? Fulton Steamboat anticipated the miniskirt. We don't have to wait for the wind anymore. The three of spades. The four of spades. When all is said and done, more will have been said than done. When all is said and done, more will have been said than done. That's the four of spades. Five. Propaganda is any culture in action. In brackets, Jockey Liu, E-L-L-U-L. He did the famous book on propaganda that McLuhan used to quote. Then it says, six of spades, visceral. Ah, it's going to have the eight sensory biases that I always quote from page 136 from Cliched Archetype. So listen to this Spanish colleague. For total experience, the Spaniard says, quote, I know it as if I had given birth to it. So that's an extension of the visceral bias or proprioceptive bias. And it's a phrase, every culture has a phrase for expressing mastery. I know it as if I had given birth to it. For total experience, that's what the Spaniard says. And the next one, seven of spades. Violence is the effort to maintain or restore a weakened psyche. So the ideas that we've been getting in the dew lines, and many of them are repeated in each dew line, there's a paucity of elaborate new Baroque styles of consciousness, of expression. Hear that? Paucity, P-A-U-C-I-T-Y. There's a paucity of elaborate novelistic or journalistic expression. It's just basic aphoristic statements. But this theme we heard before, violence is the effort to maintain or restore a weakened psyche. Eight, the new tourists are the inner trippers. We'll get you to the Taj Mahal on time. Has a blank. The new tourists are the inner trippers, so maybe it means a drug. The drug will get you to the Taj Mahal on time. The nine of spades. The silicone bosom symbolizes the thin edge of the trial balloon. So, you know, the topless nightclubs that McLuhan went to with Tom Wolfe and the famous woman, girl out in San Francisco that had the topless situation. When McLuhan saw her, he said, the silicone bosom symbolizes the thin edge of the trial balloon. Her name was Carol Doda, I think. Then the Ten of Spades, every new technique is a service environment that junks the earlier ones. So he's shrunk his newsletters down to pithy statements in the on the dew lines. So we'll just do a few more. The Jack of Spades, is Tiny Tim one of Dr. Spock's spooks? If you guys remember Tiny Tim?
Yes.
You know him, Roxy? You remember Tiny Tim?
No.
Yeah. He was a guy who played a banjo or a ukulele. Was it a ukulele?
Yes, ukulele, yes. Tiptoe through the tulips.
Tiptoe through the tulips. He was like a childish hippie, a Baroque hippie, a mod-designed hippie with this high, trilling voice. You know, Zappalus, Tiny Tim on Freakout is an influence. Please don't hold it against Tiny Tim. But Tiny Tim was known in the underground folk clubs. And then he got married on Johnny Carson, 1970. And that lasted to a young woman, and that didn't last very long. Now, the Queen of Spades, the stripper puts the audience on by taking them off. McLuhan used to say the stripper puts the audience on by taking off her clothes, but this is different. The stripper puts the audience on by taking them off, taking the audience off. The King of Spades, I've got a small brain and I intend to use it. How often have I heard that in my daily life? Now, George Thompson, the left-out designer, he said he came up with that one. And he was a little man kind of guy. He appeared to be a little man in extremis. But he was a pretty good painter and lived to like his early 90s, died just the other few years ago, but was selling his paintings at the time. And he was McLuhan's confused gopher, always running around and screwing up, and he's the one who gave McLuhan the whiskey drink after McLuhan collapsed on September 26, 1979. Carol informs me that's not what one does when they have a stroke. Stroke. You really cause a problem if you give them alcohol. It makes the stroke worse. And apparently George did that. Now, here's Hertz's law. The consequence of the images is the image of the consequences. and it has in brackets, the sense of our density rather than destiny, the sense of our density. So that was the Ace of Diamonds. So the Two of Diamonds, quoting Samuel Butler, who did Erewhon in the 19th century, which is nowhere backwards. The chicken was the egg's idea for getting more eggs. The chicken was the egg's idea for getting more eggs. That's how we know what came first. And then the Three of Diamonds, should old Aquinas be forgot? You know that, should old acquaintance be forgot? Well, McLuhan changed it to Aquinas.
I have to interrupt. The egg was always there, and the chicken was always there.
That's the ionic
update. The thing we know now.
Yeah, the egg was the parallel world version of the chicken. That's a good one. The egg was the parallel world version of the chicken. And of course they cross into other worlds and get mixed up. So you would then link the two together. Oh yeah, they had an egg and a chicken was there. The chicken came from the egg. Yeah, but which came first? Well, neither. They never were even created. They always were. It's an isness becoming an earnest. The isness was the earnest's idea for getting more isness.
It's your lying eyes thinking.
Yes.
It's a different thing. It's not.
Yeah, that's right. It's not even, they're not, there's no difference. Like I would say, what's the difference? Chicken, egg, there's no difference. But the real serious question is, should all Aquinas be forgot when tactility has been, the doctrine of analogical proportionality has been extended into environment? Is that a threat to Aquinas' memory? So that was the Three of Diamonds, and that's as far as we'll go. That's a full house issue of the Dew Line.